All right, hey guys, welcome to the studio today. We have Stephanie Benson. Stephanie is the owner of Float Clarkston here in Clarkston, Michigan.
Yep.
Welcome to the studio, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you.
Thanks.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about Float Clarkston. How'd you find your way into the float?
So Float Clarkston offers like three different modalities. We've got float therapy, infrared sauna, and massage therapy. So the idea and the concept was full body healing,
yeah.
You know, mind, body, soul. It didn't really start that way, but since I've evolved, the business has evolved and it's in a really sweet spot of like a healing center.
Yeah.
And people come in, you know, I feel like how it smells, how it looks, the cleanliness, all of that matters if you're worried about, or if you're working on healing, you know? So I don't, and this came to me, what I was looking for is like, what am I looking for in a business? Like, yeah. What do I feel like I need as far as like a safe place to breathe and, you know, do whatever meditative thinking that I needed to do. Cause for me, I wasn't raised with meditation. I wasn't raised with, you know, listening to your intuition and all of that stuff, but floating woke me up in a way of like, I am intuitive and I do have like, you know, the ability to kind of like go in and make my decisions instead of like looking out, which is what I kind of always did. So for floating and so the business itself is a relaxed space. You walk in and we've got our oils going. It smells nice. The lighting is dim. I've got a water feature. The idea is just your guard goes away.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm very picky with who I hire because it's very important for whoever's behind the counter. That first impression can really set someone up for a good float or a bad float.
Yes.
And I've seen that from experience.
Wow, over that's the very 4 years. Intentional and smart.
Yes.
And I have been to your business. This is actually how we met.
Yep.
And everything you say is true.
Yeah.
So like from the moment I walked in the door, the very first time we ever met, do you remember I brought you a posture corrector?
Oh my gosh, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So your, at the time, husband was affiliated with the float with you.
Yep.
Right? And I had been having some back and neck issues. Mm-hmm. And I came in as a customer the first time to introduce myself because we had been in kind of the same business network at the time when you launched.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came in, I was like, wow, this sounds amazing because I already knew what floating was.
Yeah.
So I was real into it. I take salt bath, Epsom salt soaks all the time at home in my tiny little tub, right? And so I was like, holy smokes, I can't believe this came to my town.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very excited. And then we had met and you were so engaging. And right when I walked in the front door, the smells, the cleanliness, the vibe, everything
was
good. All of it does
it
matter.
Does.
And you were amazing. And so that we talked about my back issue.
Yep.
That's kind of what brought me there.
Yeah, because, you know, helps pull out inflammation.
Exactly.
And you're going to be fully submerged.
And you had mentioned some neck stuff with yourself. We talked about posture. And I was like, man, I got this cool, cheap posture corrector off Amazon. And I was like, I wear it like 20 minutes a day and it's helped me so much. And you were like, yeah, I could benefit from that.
Yeah.
And so the next time I came in, I had them for you in your
house.
Yes.
Humps. Yes.
And then I just started coming back. And I know that you are intentional about who you hire for your place too, because I've had a couple of massages from your massage therapist.
Yes.
Who was amazing. That was a great experience. Who's also very intuitive to your body.
Oh my gosh.
To the customer's body.
Yeah.
And also, it was one of your employees as I was launching my podcast studio that brought me to Hannah, my studio engineer here.
Really?
Yes.
Which
It was Rebecca.
Oh, Rebecca. Yeah. Okay.
Becca.
I remember that. That's so crazy. And I remember I put notes because I want to be the cheers of a float center. Like, I like to be very personal. And, like, not everybody wants that, though. So
sure.
I like to read the person briefly and, like, you know, give people their space if they want it. But also, like, I recognize deeply that, like, there's a lot unsaid with people, you know, like, things that they're going through. And I just like to, like, make people so comfortable that they can, like, open up if they want to, but they don't feel like they need to.
Yeah.
But like with the employees, it does matter because if you're not greeted with like a warm, you know, smile or words,
turns people off.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be different.
Felt welcomed there. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to be there all day, every day, I want to feel comfortable and I want to have that back and forth with my customers.
Absolutely.
You know, like,
yes.
I don't want it to be, you know, corporate feel. And right. So that's important.
Nothing about your place feels corporate, good. Which I love. It feels very customized to the customer's needs.
Yeah.
And I love Thank that. You. And so when I came in, I hadn't been in a while because my self-care had gotten away from me.
It
and
happens.
My stress levels were going back through the roof. Mm-hmm. And I had all these things cooking. And I was like, I need to go float.
Mm-hmm.
So I made an appointment at your place at Float Clarkston. And I was shocked to find Becca working there because I didn't know. I thought she had moved to Tennessee because she's a musician and she's big on the music scene. And I thought she was out of here and ran into her. And she said she was working with you, I think, part time. And I was like, yeah, I'm hiring at my studio part time if you know of anyone. And then she recommended Hannah. And
I
then
see.
I met with Hannah. And that's how that turned out.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So
Becca.
It's kind of full circle.
You know, she was supposed to go to Tennessee. And when she decided not to, she had posted on her Facebook page like she's looking for a job, and she's been a dear customer.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, come work here, because I you know, I knew it might be temporary, and,
right,
but she has that energy of like motherly and you know, like compassion, and
everything
also
really worked out for her because she didn't move to Tennessee. She ended up meeting the love of her life and she married him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see that. I know. I'm so happy for her. See?
Yeah.
Like, you think like your world's crashing and oh my gosh, another detour. It's a detour in the right direction.
It did,
you know,
right.
Like, it's an obstacle, but it's a detour in the right direction.
Yep.
Yeah,
I love that
totally.
For her. And that was another connection with me and you, just being that I stopped to recenter, reframe, refocus, and get myself in for a float and a sauna, because you guys, you have float and sauna.
Infrared sauna.
And I'm sorry if I derailed the float process, because
no,
you
okay.
were starting to explain what that was,
it's
and then
okay.
we went off on a tangent.
Yep, we do
so
that.
We'll circle back now to the float.
Yeah, so basically float therapy, it's been around since the 50s, but it's more commercialized, more so in the last 10 years, I would say. It is 10 inches of water. It's just over 1,000 pounds of medical grade Epsom salt. So that's what allows you to float effortlessly.
10,000 pounds.
Just over 1,000 pounds.
Oh, just over 1,000 pounds. Okay.
Yeah. So it is a lot, though. Like, you know, a bath at home is probably a cup or two, you know.
Yeah.
It's about $1,500 worth of Epsom salt in each tank. So it isn't, the density is so high that it helps pull out inflammation. I mean, it is small amounts, but it helps with pain management. And then you're also absorbing magnesium through your skin, which is one of the best ways of getting
magnesium. I can literally
magnesium.
Feel my glutes pulsate when I sit in a Epsom salt soak.
Yes.
Just in my tub.
Yeah.
Because I would just get a bag from Costco, pour it in my tub, and I would let my muscles soak, because I train so much that sometimes I overtrain that my muscles won't relax.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into Epsom salt. And then that's why I was like, holy smokes.
Okay.
The float appeared in Clarkston.
So not only does it have the physical effect, but then once you're in there, the idea is reducing your sensory input to a point where your brain can have a really deep rest. And we're not all used to that. Like, we're on our phones. It's not our fault. It's 2024. It's just where life has taken us. But that intentional 60 minutes of, like, reducing the sensory input, it really allows your mind, your body, and your spirit to just sort of connect.
Yeah.
And that's what I get from it. And I didn't know that's what was going to come. But each float gets better. So I've been floating since 2019. And I'm way calmer. In general, I still have, you know, I still have my stuff that might trigger anxiety here and there, but I use it as a tool in my tool belt. If I know I have something, like yesterday, guess what I did? I did the whole full bliss. I did a sauna, I did a float, and I did a 90-minute massage with Sheila to prep
amazing.
For today. Because
Sheila, that was
Sheila.
Her name. Yes.
Sheila's amazing. We have Sheila and Carly.
Yeah.
Sheila is my oh my gosh. She just walked in one day and it was like, oh. And, like, she's helped me through a lot in the last, you know, three or four years. Not just, like, the physical ailments that I was having with my neck and my stress, but I was having headaches, and turns out it was from stress. But that's why floating helps, you know. I definitely walk the walk. Like, I'm in there a lot. Like, I, you know, and I get a lot from it. So I think anytime you're in that space where you believe in what you're business is offering people. Right. It's not really selling. It's literally like
your mission is healing.
Yes.
So I appreciate that about you.
It helps you. Yeah. And I love that.
We like, organically connected in a funny way because I don't kind of blend in well at the business networking events.
Me neither.
You neither, right? No. And so I thought it was funny because we didn't meet through one of those networks. I just came there because I knew through the network.
Yeah.
And so
it was funny. On your notes, I put super cool dude.
Yeah, thank you.
The nonprofit. I don't know. I like to put highlights or like memorable stuff because I want to know my people, you know? Like,
I appreciate that about you.
And then, you know, it just feels good. That's what, you know, and
it was very organic.
Yeah.
And what brought me there was because I was on my own healing journey. And so we had connected and I shared a little bit about my nonprofit. My startup was rough. I faced a lot of adversity. I had a lot of personal things happen. A whole change of trajectory for my life happened, you know, while I started my business. And I was planting roots in Clarkston. And so I was seeking out different therapies for body ailments and to reduce stress, like sauna. I was doing dry heat sauna and then infrared sauna. Mm-hmm. I was doing I was floating in Epsom salt, but like only in my bathtub because I had never been to the float. In my head, the float looked like a giant whirlpool. Mm-hmm. And I had a whole different vision until I got in there and I absolutely loved it. So that experience helped me. But I was also getting into massage therapy and dry needling because, you know, when I was starting up my business, I really didn't have the funds, you know what I mean, to go out and get all that.
You were seeking.
Yeah.
Because you were doing something that I can relate to this as an entrepreneur because when you see something clear that you want to execute and go after, it doesn't really make sense to anybody around you because they don't see that it's more of a feeling.
Yeah.
And then when you do it, you need a deeper support outside of people.
Yeah.
And because it is an internal thing.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
you get it.
Everything at Float Clarkston caters to that. I get a lot of business owners.
Yes.
I do. I get a lot of creative people. And that's why I speak that way now. I say, you know, I get a lot of creativity from my floats. And I say that to people because people sometimes don't realize that benefit of it. And if they intentionally think like, oh, you know, like maybe this will, you know, everyone has their thing.
Yeah.
Even if they like don't really outwardly have a product to sell, but like they might write or journal or they might be, you know, musically inclined or something. I have people singing in floats, you know, like obviously we want to be
mindful. I fall asleep in mine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do.
I never thought in a million years I'd fall asleep in water.
Oh, yeah. It's so comfortable. So it's maintained at skin temperature on purpose. So about between 94 and 95 degrees.
Yeah.
And so the idea is you can't see where the water begins and where the air begins. So you feel like you're floating on a cloud per se. Like that's what I kind of imagine. And it gives your body a space to just very totally relax. You don't have to like try to float. I know my first float in Denver, I was like holding my shoulders up for like the first 45 minutes because I'm a control freak. And then when I was like, let go,
right,
Stephanie.
Yeah.
Like this is your time to like relax. Your kids aren't with you. You're in this space. You're doing this weird float thing in Denver because your sister's a hippie. No, I'm just kidding. She's definitely, she introduced it to me.
Yeah.
And I was a little, you know, it just seemed like out of my wheelhouse. But when I decided to just go for it, it really opened up, changed my life clearly.
Yeah.
But it also really opened up of like there's so much more that I have to like tap into, you know?
Well, I can appreciate everything you're saying because it was about letting go for me too. Like metaphorically, it was getting in there, like doing the different therapies that I was doing. Cause you know, things were tight when I was starting up my business. I needed every penny for various things to start my business, and self-care wasn't on the list.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, when you're doing things like that and you're trying to let go and you're internalizing all the stress, it was like getting into these therapies was taking a deep dive into your soul.
Yep.
And like, that's what it was getting into the float for me, because it was like, you legit, like once you just start letting go, like how you said your shoulders.
Oh my God. I was
like
holding
that.
Myself
right.
up.
Like, I could have probably worn my posture corrector in the float. So I get it. But, yes.
But once you do drop your shoulders and focus on your breath and like, you can hear your heartbeat and, you know, your mind thoughts are going to come in, but it's like, okay, you acknowledge them, but then you let them pass. And then you just see what happens after an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And after 60 minutes, it's like things might come in and it might just be like one small nugget.
Yep.
But it might like
clarity.
Yes. And that's what it has been for me for 4 years, you know, well, 5 years if I include, you know, other places, other people's float centers.
Yeah.
Which I love talking about. Like, there are a Motor City Float down in Clawson. They were so good to me when I was opening. I was very honest. I went right into there and I said, hey, I said, there's enough for all of us.
I like, love that.
You know, like a rising tide. I'm awful with sayings. Rising tide, something about, never mind. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean, like, but I don't know it either.
I introduced myself very openly because I didn't want to be like, I'm going to open one of these. It never felt like that for me. The float center, the float community is very different in that way. Yeah. Like, it's it helps people and there's enough for everyone. Mm-hmm. And if you do a good job, that will help me. And if you, you know, and
it's not necessarily about competition, but more collaboration because you're healing.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously, you know, if I could make an impact on my small little community and live around people that are less assholes because they feel better about themselves, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Absolutely.
You know, that feels good. So anyway, they were great to me. I was a member there. I was a paid member. You know, I was very respectful and open. And she, you know, we had great talks on her couch. Like, what am I doing? You know, but it happened fast. Like for my first float, I quit 2 months later. I was on a mission. I left a corporate job of 12 years that was good to me, and I don't burn bridges. So, Dan Gilbert is, I think he's a genius, and I think he's a good human. And I don't think people realize that about him.
Yeah.
Like, I absorbed as much as I could in that 12 years there, and I am so thankful for that.
Was it Quicken?
Quicken Loans.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, Rocket Mortgage now or whatever.
Yeah, gotcha.
Quicken Loans, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of great things about Dan Gilbert. I've never met him in person, but I haven't either,
even though I emailed him when I left, because I just felt like this, like, maybe one day that will make sense why I felt like I wanted to email him. His assistant responded, but I just wanted to thank him because I learned a lot in that 12 years, and that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Like, but I knew something in me knew it was time to stop that. And I just went, you know, I happened to have a business degree. I played volleyball at Northwood. And I never really thought I'd use it. Quicken was supposed to be a resume builder, and I was there for 12 years. And then when this came, it was such a direct being. I don't know how it's
divine timing.
Yes. Yeah. I was just like,
I get it.
Okay. And then like everything lined up and I was like, this is really happening. You're doing this. Like, and then imposter syndrome wants to come in and you're like, no, there's got to be a bigger reason. And then COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, I was supposed to sign my lease and all that. You know, it was a mess, but like I got through it. I love it. It's difficult every day, but I'm here. I'm built for it. And you know, it's opened my eyes to a lot of things. Back to the therapies. Like, I think when you do something like, for lack of a better term, ballsy, like quit your job and start a new business, you do feel a little bit like, who am I? Am I? Wait a minute. You know, like you want to do it, but because you can't really bounce it off other people, because really other people don't understand.
Well, they'll also try to talk you out of it.
And they'll try to talk you out of it. There were people in my immediate family that I just, you know, I know that their heart was in the right place, but I couldn't share what I was doing because I felt their fear.
Well, I'm deep in this with you because when I started up, I had to pretty much completely eliminate everybody out of my life because no one was ever going to say the right thing to me. And if you said the wrong thing to me, it didn't matter if it was the right or the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to receive it the way you were delivering it to me. And so, but I had also had a lot of people tell me, it's a lot easier to work for somebody else than it is to start your own business. And
you shouldn't do it.
Me all the reasons why not to. Yeah. And I was like, well, you know what? I needed a safe place to work. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be the kind of employer that provided a safe place of employment for people that wanted to work with me on a team.
Yeah.
And that's what it was about for me. So it was about empowerment for myself and to empower others and just keep and create a safe space.
Yeah.
You know, same for you. You're creating a healing, safe space. Mm-hmm. But you didn't come from a toxic work environment. You loved your experience.
No, but I mean, there's always
two different ends of the spectrum.
I put my headphones on and just did my job a lot.
Right.
Because I didn't, you know, and that worked for that time. And
it wasn't mission focused like it is with healing.
Oh, I get so much fulfillment with what I do now.
Absolutely,
yeah. And it's, you know, and I feel like the sky's the limit. Like, I have lots of ideas of things that I want to progress and things that, like, even when I left in 2019, like, weren't on my radar are now like in front of me, like ready for me to, like, and I'm like, okay, like, I'm just saying yes to things more
organically. One thing leads to another.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, you can see the plan was there the whole time,
yep,
but you couldn't back then.
No, because life throws obstacles at you, throw you off, and then it can consume you at times. You don't realize it, and that's human nature, you know?
Yeah.
I try to forgive myself for that now. I have become really good at, like, you know, I have become good at, like, taking the bad, what feels bad, and, like, giving it that, letting myself feel it first, but then realizing, like, okay, how is this for me? Like, there is something here that I'm supposed to be experiencing.
Yep.
Roll up your sleeves. Like,
Do the deep work.
Do
I know.
It,
it's like, hard. And, it's gritty.
Oh, gosh. I did all sorts of stuff. I did, you know, there was other things going on in my personal life behind the scenes that I wasn't aware of.
Right.
And, you know.
Now, at this time when you started up your business, you were married.
Yes.
And was your hubs a partner in the flow?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Gotcha.
Nope. The control freak that I am, even then, I somehow smart intuitively woman. Was like, this is a me thing.
Smart
you know,
woman,
like
yeah.
this is my passion. And this is, and I didn't know a lot that I know now then. But he respected that. Like he was kind of like, you're going to do what? And because Joe Rogan is a fan and has his own float tank in his studio, and my ex-husband loves Joe Rogan.
Okay.
He was like, sure. He saw it in my eyes. He's like, oh, get out of her way. You know, cause whenever this happens, she'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And that tends to be the, you know, the luck that I've had, but,
determination.
Yes. But no, there, you know, I shortly after opening, I went through a divorce.
Yeah.
And it happened very quickly and it was difficult. And, you know, I've got two kids with this man. So, like burning the bridges. I don't want to burn a bridge. So it's just been something that I've used the business to really heal from.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to do. And I think now I feel like I'm on the other side. And it feels like the right thing to do because it feels like it was such a divine gift.
Yeah.
The business in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing, I didn't know what was about to explode.
Yeah.
Or did I?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't knowingly know, but I think looking back now, I did see that I needed to be the author of my book.
Right.
Ooh, I felt that one.
I get that.
And you know what? Ooh, I'm going to go here really quick. I'm just going to go here.
Safe
I know
space.
I was go
you are
here,
welcome
but,
to go there.
But when it blew up and everything, there was another bing of like, you do everything that you've been doing. Keep on this path because you're going to help others out of it one day.
Yeah.
Because this is not going to be easy. When things blew up and truths were exposed and, you know, it was humbling and crushing at the same time, but it was also like, you can let it bury you or you can, you know,
empower.
How am I going to get, yes.
Yeah.
And I have a daughter, I have a son, I want to make them proud. And, you know, I feel like the way I handled all of that has been very graceful and it's felt good.
Yeah.
Like it sucked.
Yes.
And I'm still dealing with it. Cause guess what? When you sign on the line, that stuff doesn't stop.
Right.
However, I'm letting it affect me less and I'm using, whatever energy gets thrown at me that might be harsh or negative to empower me to like redirect it into something good. So it's a passion project.
Yeah.
Will Clarkson has definitely been a passion project.
Well, that's
met so,
good.
Many cool people.
That's like a key
favorite.
Piece in your toolbox. And so what a blessing that you have it. You
yes.
know what I mean? The
oh
flow.
My gosh.
Yeah. It's
totally.
So physically and metaphorically.
Yeah.
A beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, Sheila, my massage therapist, has really helped me build my own intuition and listen to the indicators that my body was maybe having when I didn't know things. And then when I found things out, it just makes everything make sense to me now.
So we've talked so much off camera.
I know.
And so like, and we've always been an open share and I had a similar experience years prior. And I always say when this topic gets brought up is that I know what you mean by like, did I know or didn't I know? Like what was going on like back then? And like even with a previous employer, it's like both my relationship and my relationship with my previous employer were of one of 15 years and one of 20 years ended at the exact same time. And that's when I ended up launching my business after those two things came to an end.
So but much it was, change all
it
at
was
once.
Out of like
that
bing moment.
Feel...
I call it getting godsmacked because like if you're not following your mission and your true path, if you didn't see it the 5 years prior when you were initially getting the signs,
mm-hmm.
it's going to get I mean, you're going to get the shit smacked out of you, basically, is what will happen until you see it. And then that's what happened. And I realized, looking back, I was like, well, shit, I stayed 5 years too long in both scenarios. So, like, and then you're just kind of flashing back. But it's okay,
right?
Yeah, because, no, because it happens the way it's supposed to.
And even though you might not know, you know, I definitely knew before it was done.
Right.
But, you know, there's just choices that you got to make for, you know, other people, too, you have to consider. Yeah. And I'm thankful that everything happened the way it did.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, I'm on a great trajectory, my favorite word to say, and the path that I'm on, it feels good. And I feel like if you have good intentions and it's, you know, as a whole, it's good for your community, you know, society as a whole, you're going to be supported, you know. But I do believe in, like, you know, what happens in the dark comes to light. So if you don't have a good conscience and you have, you know, you don't have the best intentions for others, that's when shit might come at you a little harsher.
I think when the shit hits the fan and you're faced with all those adversities at once, it's to make you come out on the other side as beautiful and radiant as you are. Because, like, just sitting here talking to you, and we've been talking for a few years now, and we've even been talking about doing this podcast episode
for a couple hours.
Yeah, so it's like we've done it in a mock format a few different times. Mm-hmm. I always say when I'm having a conversation with you, it's like we just had a podcast, but we didn't record it.
Yeah,
because we take these deep dives in, and we have a lot in common to share. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, getting back to the point of, like, going through those adversities, it only brings out in you where you're supposed to be now. So I don't even look at those adversities as a negative thing anymore.
I'm and like, it takes the power away.
I'm so grateful for them to happen that way. And it's like that dark side of things wasn't on you. Mm-hmm. The dark side of someone else is to bring you to the light.
Yep.
So that's, I mean, I know that sounds cheesy or cliche maybe to some folks, but not to me.
I get
it. Not to you. And so that was my journey, and it's yours too. And I'm so happy that you're here to share your story.
I just have so much, like, I feel like I have an entire book on.
There's a book in you.
There's a few, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a few.
Yes.
But I feel like I, something that I would love to just put out there is, like, the experience of being open to going from, how old am I? 39. So I would have been 34 when, like, I feel like some sort of awakening or shift happened in me where, like, everything changed. And that was before I quit Quicken. Like, it happened before that. So, this is going to be where I lost my train of thought. Hang on.
That's okay.
The shift in me.
You were 34.
Oh, so, okay. So what I love, the support that I want to give people is those people that are still questioning. Like, I'm very much like, you know, and I don't know if you talk about God on your podcast regularly or not, but I believe in both. Like, I think there's both. And I like to be clear that I believe in both to people so that if somebody's one way or the other, they don't feel uncomfortable. Like, I just like to be inclusive.
I'm spiritually open.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I don't feel, I just feel like there's not one answer, guys.
I feel you.
And, like, when people clash over that, it's just like, that's the hate that we don't need, right?
It's toxic.
So it's like, I like to be open to all, because I was that. Just 5 years ago, spirituality was not on my radar. It wasn't. And I just kind of let myself gravitate to what feels right for me.
Yeah.
And I find I listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah. Like, podcasts have been like my therapist on top of my therapist because I love therapy.
Yeah. Therapy is a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I think it's so important to try it. And you have to be very intentional of who you decide to start with, right? Like, know yourself. Yeah. Like, I knew I'd be more comfortable with a woman.
That's a great point.
And I wanted someone that was spiritually
aligned with you.
That, yes, but like a spiritually in tune.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? Because I wanted to learn it.
Yeah.
So
spiritually awake.
Yeah, I wanted someone that would have no judgment. I had questions. Like, you know, when your world kind of blows up and you start dissecting it and looking back and, like, you know, you start having questions. And if you didn't, I feel like you're just giving up. So anyway, so I had questions. So I wanted a therapist that would be open to things like, you know, I feel like I know when things are going to happen. Like, I feel like I can kind of feel fear? Like, is that a childhood trauma, or is that intuition, or is it anxiety? Like, is it circumstantial? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just had so many questions.
Yeah.
And I started with the therapist. And then from there, if I didn't feel like I was getting, you know, the support that I wanted to keep diving a little deeper, I start the next thing. And I did like hypnosis, and I did Reiki, and, you know, I started doing some more yoga classes. And, you know, the floating for me was a great outlet for just like what's next that would come to me, you know. I don't know. And it doesn't have to be anything expensive or elaborate. You can do it at home.
Yeah, it just comes to you. Just, the thing will come.
Yes,
yeah.
If you are quiet enough to hear it, that's the problem, right? Like, we're just all
You want to quiet the noise.
And you got to quiet the noise to hear the bing.
Yes. Have you ever tried
CBD? Why do I call it a bing?
I get what you mean when you say the bing.
I call it a bing. Some people say like a download or like God, you know, God's voice.
Everyone has a different
term. But for me, I like to call it a bing because for me, I'm still unclear what it is. Is it my intuition? Is it God? Is it, you know, my guides? Is it?
Well, I love the word intuition too. And when I was going through all my stuff, I had to, you know, I came up with this, I had this talk with myself and I was like, you know, am I paranoid or am I intuitive? You know, because I was like, I finally came to the conclusion. I was like, there is a fine line between paranoia and intuition. And every time I thought or someone told me, no, you're reading too much into that, like, that's not happening, I'm like, no, this person's double crossing me, I'm telling you. And so, like,
well, you got to follow your gut.
Yes. But, and then it always revealed itself.
But don't, this is what I've learned.
Don't show your cards.
Don't. Yes. Because not everyone has your best intentions.
No.
And I learned that the hard way in 2020.
Yeah.
So when, so I feel very like, I have a knowing sometimes, not all the time.
Right.
But there's certain things where I just have a knowing and like, it's like, I want to honor it.
Yeah.
Especially now. I always,
your body will tell you if you're quiet enough to listen, like you just said.
Yes.
Your body will
tell
you.
I used to call it anxiety, though. Yeah, I called it anxiety in my 20s because I didn't know what else to call it.
Yeah.
No one really talked to me about, like...
It was a bing.
It was. It was a bing. Yeah. It was like a... But it would, like, get me all speedy and, like, you know, and then I'm... And I've even asked, like, is this a psychological thing or is this, like, a spiritual thing? And, like, because I have a lot of energy and now I know how to, like, channel it better.
Yeah.
But, like, in my 20s, I was just like, what's next? Like, I just had a lot of energy and I wanted to go and I, you know... And then that kind of went away for a decade. And then I kind of woke up and, you know, when the business happened and stuff, like I'm finding myself again, as cliche again as that sounds. I am. I'm finding myself.
I get it.
I like to be goofy. I don't fit the mold always, but I'm okay with that. I, you know, I'll show up to my kids' stuff with my hair up and messy bun and just be myself, makeup free and whatever. It is what it is. Like, I'm totally comfortable with who I am. And that's taken a few years to get there.
It's an ever-evolving process. Like, for me, it's going to be the rest of my life.
Always.
Yes.
I think that's healthy.
It is.
Because if you just, like, accept what is as what is and you don't... I'm a seeker, too. Like, I just...
You're a seeker of knowledge and the truth and all these things.
Oh, the truth.
The truth of yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And so me, too. It's like that, tapping into that being, like you spoke about, it's like... Just listening to that served you well because, you know, you went through some pretty... deep adversity.
Yep.
You know, if had you not been more in tune with yourself, it could have gone another direction.
Yeah.
You know, more.
There was a very dark direction. Clear, pivotal moment of this isn't for me anymore. It's the time, like this person was in my life for this amount of time. I don't regret anything. I got my children, but that chapter is closed. And it's not going to open back up in the way that I ever thought that it would. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And now we can navigate separately and, you know, my kids come first and I'm, you know, really trying to help in any way that I can help them feel, you know, it's a lot. This world is, it's heavy. Like everyone has
hard.
Their stuff.
Yes.
And that's how I treat every person that walks in the door at Float Clarkson. It's like, hey, I get it.
Cause they're coming there to let go and you know.
Yes.
Let I think you'd make a great coach, a great therapist.
I want a coach. I love that. I've thought about therapy.
You have it in you because you have the experience and you have the intuition.
Openness to it, you know, and I don't judge anybody.
Right.
Like, I don't. Like, I'm not for everybody, and sometimes you're a good match energetically, and sometimes you're not, and that's okay. But, like, I feel like there's just something more in, you know, I do feel a couple of books in there, you know, and... And I feel like when the time is right, it will just flow and it won't be forced, right? And but right now I'm focusing on the business, my children, and myself. Yeah. And that's taken all of me, and I'm okay with that for right now. And then I'm doing the modalities that float, and that kind of, it's kind of helping me figure out my next thing, you know? And I'm smiling because it's like, I finally feel like I'm on the other side.
Yeah. Well, you have that vibe. Woo! Like I said, you have like a beautiful radiance about you, and it's showing through. Mm-hmm. Like it shows through, and you're,
it feels good to just be yourself, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was too many years of forcing what I thought other people wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. And then when life does shatter you, it just catches you off guard. You really just like, I just was like, okay, hang on, time out of everything, right. You know? And then when I when I opened my business, I think any entrepreneur will say like, it's kind of a lonely space. Like,
it's so lonely.
It's intentionally lonely because it is like a you thing. Like, unless you are, I don't have a business partner. It's just me. So for me, like I had to kind of do that. And then, you know, and then when you get a divorce too, it's like more layers fall off. So, you know, so I've just really focused on the essentials, you know, being a more of a minimalist and like focusing on, you know, getting back to basics. And, you know, the home that my children and I are in now is super peaceful. It feels like an up north house, and we actually call it the up north house. And it just has like a element of like, what I feel like is really important for kids right now.
Well, now you're surrounded by elements. Like we talked about off camera before we started rolling. Right. Like my space is kind of the same as yours, where I was just looking for elements. Mm-hmm. I'm up on over an acre of property. It's not a huge house because I'm not a big house guy. Mm-hmm. That's okay for me.
Yeah.
Like my parents thought like I would have this huge house. And less why don't clean. You have that house? Like I'm not a big house guy, but I have a few houses. I just keep them small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Love that.
But like, I like being around the elements, like the water. That was important to me, to be around water for the elements. I didn't need a big prestigious lake. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be by water, and I wanted to be by trees and in nature.
Yep.
That was what was most important to me.
Because you're a creative human being too.
Yeah,
like you just are. It's just in you. And you know, you don't have to be super spiritual to appreciate nature. I mean, there's a reason why it does make people feel more calm.
And back to spirituality too, you touched on that, and you're openly spiritual. And like for me, you know, my line of work with my first business is families. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with so many families since a young age, you know, just 18 years old, I've been invited to so many family tables for dinner and different events and things like that of all cultures, mm-hmm. all races, all cultures, all walks of life. And I'm open to all of it. So I feel like I had an advantage as a young person getting to sit and be invited into these family homes to learn about Jewish religion and mm-hmm. Chaldean religion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like all the cultures, all the foods, everything that it has to offer. And so like, it just also taught me that a lot of stuff is circumstantial. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what I mean? So I'm like my own spiritual person in my own way too, much like you. And I'm open to everybody else's, you know,
I don't yuck anybody's, what's that? Saying, I'm so bad with saying, so I should stop trying to say them. I don't yuck anybody's yum.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I've
like
never heard that one.
Yeah. If I'm open, you know, and just let people be.
Let people
like
have
in
their
this
thing.
Society, you know, like with like, you know, I'm not a political person. I have an opinion and I do the research when I need to, and I don't want to be ignorant, right?
Right.
But at the same time, like I'm gonna let people do that themselves, right? Like there's no reason to push your beliefs on anybody or look at anybody cross-eyed when they tell you yours and you don't agree with it because you don't have that experience that they had.
Right.
Literally nobody has the exact experience that you had.
Exactly.
So no one will get it exactly the way it makes sense to you, but it's all, you know, perception is once you kind of understand like people's reactions to things and why like say somebody has like a outburst and it's something within them that made them react that way.
Right,
once once you kind of understand that, you're a lot more forgiving for people, you know, because it's like, oh, like you see like a broken child and you're kind of like, I know you can't save everybody. And like, you know, and sometimes you got to be in control of your own emotions and keep yourself in check.
Right.
But be more forgiving in the fact of like, we're all human beings.
Well, and
this is hard on everybody.
Yes. That speaks to me too, because, you know, I've shared a little bit with you about my profession and I've worked with folks with, you know, young men with intermittent explosive disorder. And that could be volatile. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have different triggers and traumas that just appear out of nowhere. And that can be very tough. And, you know, I've been in the mental health field for almost 30 years now. And it was just during those adversities and dark times, I had been so ingrained in my field of work that when I was experiencing my own hurdles and adversities during the startup process of my business, because I had so much change happening, like much like you were going through a divorce and starting a business at the same time, mm-hmm. and you transitioned from your employer of 12 years, you know, that comfort and security, you're kind of throwing it to the wind and you're isolating and you're going underground. Well, I didn't have anybody to turn to either during my times of adversity when I was starting up my business, and it was my own mental health that was weird because the tables had turned, and I was like, wow, I'm getting triggered by things because I had experienced just small town nonsense, you know what I mean, politics and different things like that with where I decided to start my business and purchased a home and different things like that within the community. And it was interesting to
see on the other side,
to be on the other side of it. Yep. And I was very much aware that it was happening.
Yep.
So I'm so blessed and grateful for that I had the awareness, because I was like, holy shit, I am escalating, much like the young men that I used to support. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to have to get a hold of myself for my own mental health. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I started doing things like floating and dry needling and the different therapies that I do holistically, because those things helped center me, refocus, and kind of turn off the noise. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, now I can see things with a clear head.
By doing that, you expand your capacity for the good, you know, because you're processing.
Because people will take you there if you let them.
Yeah.
If you give them the keys,
but if you
they
do
will
it
drive
on your
you
pace.
Crazy. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So I had to start like realizing, holy shit, I'm letting these people take me.
Oh, gosh.
I literally got to a point where I had, you know, faced a lot of adversity with the local police departments. And so, like, I was also watching corrupt politics happen in town. And I was on the receiving end of it.
Can't be naive to, there's not everyone has your best interest.
And people have, you know, people with power don't always, aren't always acting with honesty and integrity.
Nope.
And we know these things, but when you're the one experiencing it and the power, it's out of your hands.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I had never experienced being demoralized in such a way. Mm-hmm. And so like it had gotten to the point where I kicked in the town hall door. You know, I had there was an accident for my house. There was a sign that ended up in my yard, and it happened on a regular, consistent basis. Mm-hmm. And you know the street signs that I'm talking about, like a stop sign? Mm-hmm. Those are heavy. They have a truck and plant those into the ground. Mm-hmm. And one day I grabbed that sign. It was in my yard, and I have been round and round with the police, the fire department, all the chiefs, the town hall, everybody. And I picked up that sign and I walked down to the town hall. I kicked in the town hall door and I threw the sign in. This is where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was just, all I could see was red.
Yep.
And, you know, I was actually squaring off with the guy in the parking lot. I had just got back from jujitsu training. I was training jujitsu 3 times a day because I was trying to manage, you know what I mean, my frustrations.
Yep.
Through training and empowerment. And then I just had a moment of clarity where I was like, I could really go in another direction right now. And I need to like have a moment. And so, that really spoke to me, that moment where I was like, holy smokes, like other people shouldn't have that kind of power over your, you know, your being.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. That was a huge turning point for you then, because that releases a lot. Once you realize that, you know, because then you're less triggered and you realize other people's reactions is on them. And,
absolutely.
You know, and that's huge.
Yeah.
So.
And I know that you experience a similar,
so,
I mean, you weren't kicking in the town hall door, but metaphorically you kicked in a couple doors.
Yeah. So, So when I signed my lease in 2020, it was July 2020. I was supposed to sign it in March. It was Friday the 13th. It's funny how certain details just stick with you.
Yes.
And it was the week that the World Health Organization said this is a global pandemic. And I don't know about you, but I didn't really know what that meant. So I went on Google, like half of America. And, you know, do I sign this lease? Like, and then investments dipped. And I was like, you know, everything was just sort of, I was unemployed. I had went all in for the business. I had already, you know, met with an architect and, you know, things were moving ahead. and investments dipped, and I had a very specific account that I wanted to use, and it was not what I needed it to be at. And I was like, well, I'm not going to start on that foot.
Right.
So I was like, let's just pause. And that was hard because when you quit, I'd already left.
Right.
It was March and I'd left in November. So
the wheels were in motion.
Oh, so anyway, so all that kind of, you know, and I was just like, what do I do? You know, like I have my friend groups and stuff where it was just like bouncing things off. But like, really, again, nobody really understands. Nobody can tell you in that situation because that's something that you have to sit with and see what comes. Right. So I decided to sign in July of 2020. Well, that month, everything kind of shifted as far as like, I was sort of, when I said earlier about like intuition, is it psychological or is it spiritual or is it a gift or is it a curse? You know what I mean?
Oh, I feel like, all that.
Okay. So my then husband, we really weren't on the same pages as far as like, you know, he did his thing and I did mine. And we, you know, he wasn't what I would say a spiritual person. And I was just kind of dipping into it. So I wasn't sure how to like put it in language, you know, like what I was experiencing or feeling. But me being me, I would share with him like the beings, right? Yeah. So I did kind of sound out there because I'm like, I'm quitting my job. I'm starting to blah, blah, blah. So I signed my lease and I had like a few day panic attack where I couldn't breathe. And I was like a little bit scared because I thought, well, did I do that? Is this not what I thought I was supposed to do? Because it felt so clear to me for a while. So I ended up signing it and I told my then husband, like, I, you know, he could see I wasn't able to sleep. I had a lot of fear. Like it all just kind of flooded me. And it was right after that very significant.
Yeah.
Like,
panic attacks are very scary too.
That's what I felt like it was. And and in my heart of hearts, I thought if I go to the hospital, they're going to take my heart rate and they're going to see that I'm having a panic attack. And I'm going to go and I'm going to sleep in that hospital bed. My kids are safe. I'm going to sleep in that hospital bed and I'm going to rest because I had construction starts in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I was like, just take me into the hospital. Well, in July of 2020, you couldn't just go in. You had to like the patient went in. And then if you had anybody with you, they had to stay out. So my then husband was just he wasn't sure what was happening either, you know, and I don't blame him, you know, like because he wasn't the one to experience it. But fast forward, like kind of summarize this, there were some things that were happening that I was picking up on intuitively that my then husband really wanted it. He wanted it to be more of a psychiatric thing, right? There's mental health in my family history, and I've always been very open about that. And sometimes when you're really open about that, you get like this little mark on your back of like, oh, well, this has happened in the past in her family history. You know, let's just, you know, look at this a little bit more. So that didn't help, but whatever. But I was also very exhausted because it was like a few days of like, you know, if I need to be on medicine for something, anxiety, I'm starting a business. I wanted to be calm, right? Yeah. So I embraced it. I went in there. It was fine. I would never know how to say this part, but like things were said that from my then husband that really put a little bit of a light on seeing things that aren't there. And I think if you say seeing things that aren't there, that really freaks people out because it almost made it sound like, you know, seeing floating ghosts and stuff. But what I was picking up on are there was a lot of signs for me.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like, there was a lot of intuitive beings of like, don't be ignorant in this situation, Stephanie. Wake up a little bit. You know, and I didn't know what that meant really.
Right.
So anyway, so long story short, I get off the elevator. The elevator doors open. I can see it right now. I'm on the psychiatric floor. I knew because the patient that was walking by, I'm not a label person. I just knew something wasn't what I expected.
Yeah.
And immediately I thought, okay.
I'm not here for the panic attack, right?
Yeah, I was like, breathe.
Yeah.
At first, I was like, breathe. Don't overreact. Like, if you start telling them, like, hang on, I just wanted to take a nap because I can't sleep and I wanted you to knock me out for a night, you know, like, it's going to look like you need to be there more. So I just took a deep breath and I answered all the questions and I just told them exactly why I was here. I did a really huge life-changing moment of, like, going in and now I have this, like, 5-year lease and I got to make it happen, you know, but why is my body telling me like, alert, 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 don't be, you know, like wake up. And I really felt that. So anyway, so I embraced it because what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
I embraced it. You know, I answered all the questions as honestly as I could. Cause I thought I don't have anything. I don't have an employer that I have to answer to right now.
Sure.
It's in my family.
Plus,
I'm not going to
be with your husband who you trust.
At that time, like I didn't have anything on my radar.
Right. Exactly.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So anything that was coming in, of course, I was looking outward.
Right.
I wasn't looking in my own.
Right.
Because I didn't want to.
There were red flags. You just didn't know who was holding them.
I didn't.
Yeah.
So when that happened, it was very eye-opening. I met a lot of really very interesting people. I really was in there helping people. Yeah. You know, I was doing what I always do and like giving people space and like, you know, asking, you know, how they're feeling, if they're okay. And I had one lady.
So at this point you were admitted in.
I admitted, yes. Yeah. Like so they admitted me
and
started me on a medication. So it felt, you know, it felt very out of body.
Yeah.
But I was very aware. So I had enough awareness of like.
Were you questioning at this point, like why that admission happened under whose guidance? Like,
because
you went in for a panic attack.
Yeah.
You're thinking.
That's what I thought.
Right.
I thought they're going to feel my heart.
Yes.
And they're going to, I don't know, measure whatever they measure. I'm not in the medical field.
Right.
But, and I'll be safe there, you know, but. I think it needed to happen. Yeah. I think it was very eye-opening in that I really saw a lot of fear in my ex-husband in that moment of like, I didn't feel like there was best interests involved in that moment, you know?
Gotcha. Because your husband was on the back end of things.
Yes.
Which you weren't quite in tune with. You didn't quite realize.
There was something that was very specifically said.
There was a conversation that happened.
Yes.
With your ex-husband.
And I can see her. There was a woman that came over to the front desk and whispered something to the lady behind the counter. And I'm thinking, I'm the patient.
Right. Why are you talking to him?
What are we saying right now?
Yeah.
Like, if you have any questions, I'm coherent.
Exactly. Right. No, I get that. You know?
So anyway, so I did it. I just was like, just, you know, like I always do, just get through it. And I thought 24 hours or what's the, you know, 72 hours or whatever. Ended up being a week. And I missed my daughter's birthday. Wow. That was the hardest part, man. I just was like, what is happening? But they said, you know, once you start medication, they need to monitor you. And so I just, you know, I got through it. And I had, you know, another patient was like, you shouldn't be here. And I remember saying to her, like, I don't feel like I should either, but I'm here now.
Right.
And I did the crafts. I did the, you know, I showed up to everything. I participated in the group settings. It was very eye-opening. I will never forget that. And I've said from that day, like, you know, I would love to write a book because that experience was eye-opening. And I think it gave me a lot of compassion for human beings.
Well, it was great that you had that outlook during your stint there, because if you would have retaliated in any way, it could have.
I knew. But
yeah, right. You knew what was happening at this point. So you knew how to play the
game. I just knew that there was something off.
Right. You did know that there was something off. Right. I know.
So
we'll get to that.
I'm like,
right.
I'm
you
like,
knew there were
go
red
ahead.
Flags.
You checked me. Like,
yeah. You needed. Like, you felt it internally.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And it ended up being accurate.
Yes.
4 years later, I can say, well, let's see, 2020. Yeah. So that happened in July 2020. You know, I can fight a diagnosis, and, you know, I never ended up taking medicine. I took it just for that, you know, there was like a 60-day period where, you know, I was like, not sure. Like, do I continue this? Like, is this real? Is this not real? So I through the advice of my doctor, I said, hey, I don't feel like this is, I did a float with that medicine in my body. And it was the weirdest experience.
Wow.
It felt very wrong. It felt like there was so much pressure in my brain, and it just felt like, It didn't feel right. And I don't know how else to explain it. And I should get better at explaining it if I'm going to write a book. But it didn't feel right. So I, under the advice of, or the, you know, consultation of him, I stopped after the 60-day period. And since I've built a business, I've done all of this, I feel better than I ever have. Like, it's a blip now.
Right.
But when that happens, it really makes you reevaluate everything, everyone that has access to you, everyone that has anything to do with your life, right? Because things can change quick and out of your control.
Yeah.
And even if, you know, I don't blame anybody. I will take full whatever, it happened. I'm not afraid of it anymore because right. I see that it needed to happen. And I think the direction. Well,
because what that did was reveal the thing that ultimately led to your divorce.
Yeah.
Right. And it so did. That's a key piece of the whole thing, of the whole story, is those red flags, the panic attack, everything. It was all pretty much your, and not pretty much, it was your intuition, and it was your body telling you something is off. You didn't know what.
Yeah.
And
it was probably one of those things like we talked about earlier where I was probably getting like lots of dings.
Yeah.
And I was ignoring them because I was going to make it work.
Yes.
I have children with this person, you know?
I get it.
So I was going to make it work, but you can't do that to your detriment.
Right.
And that was what was happening. And I was just becoming a shell of myself, like the fun.
It was wild. Then at the expense of your mental health, because it was going to tell
you. And now
you
I
and
love
direct
talking
you.
About mental health because it doesn't scare me anymore. Right. I understand it better, and I understand other people's maybe, you know, what they're maybe going through, and I understand that it's not your fault, and you know, like if there is, to always be aware of it. You know, like it's never something that I'm gonna take lightly ever again. You know, like I like to take my walks. I like to do my floats and my massage, and I like my quiet time. That's something that, you know, whoever I'm with, whoever, you know, whoever I'm with in life, like that's something that is a priority for me. And I'm vocal about it now.
Yeah.
And I feel safe doing that now. Whereas before, you know, I was just going through the motions of life and racing the chasing the carrot. That's another saying that I butchered. I'll have a book of sayings one
you
day.
Should. That's
of
like a book right there.
The stuff. Oh my gosh.
Miss
stuff that
sayings.
I butchered.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I just, I, there's a lot of comfort in owning your story.
Now, can I ask you, like, did you feel any intuitive nudges to voice any red flags to your husband regarding him and maybe your concerns with what ultimately led to your divorce during the time, or did that all kind of reveal itself after?
During the 7-day stay?
After.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Okay.
What that 7-day stay was a little bit like, I just think there was just so much fear of like, did I make the right choice?
Right.
Like what, you know, like there was just something in me that felt unsettled, even though I had just had these epiphanies, is maybe what I would have called them then, of like, you're supposed to do this, do it, and don't look back.
Right.
And don't let anybody get in your way, including your ex-husband or anybody. Like just go. And I've felt that super strongly, and I didn't know what was happening at that point. It took 2 years.
After.
Yes.
After the, after you admitted.
After the hospitalization.
Okay, after the hospitalization.
2 years.
Wow. But that was a very telling 2 years.
But it was that 2 year. Yes. So that 2 years, I've actually never shared this with many people, but that 2 years was, it was a dismantling of like, you know, what am I missing? What, you know, like wanting better and, you know, feeling that there was things that were off, but like wanting to do this, you know, I never imagined divorce. Personally, I just never did. Like, I just was kind of like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to figure it out. I feel good. I feel I don't have, like I said, I don't have regrets. If anything, I'm like, gosh, what can I do next? Should I go back to school? Should I go and get into psychology? Should I, you know, I would love to, you know, talk.
Well, you should start a podcast because
I would love to start a podcast. Yes. It's on my radar.
Yeah.
Like, it is totally on my radar because they have gotten me through the last 5 years. You know, I love a good, you know, Mel Robbins, Rob Dial, Mindset Mentor. Has been a good one over the last few years. Like there's a few that I really gravitate towards. And I feel like when they get served up to me, it's exactly the topic that I just dealt with.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and then I just go down this rabbit hole of intuitively going to the next one and going to the next one. And it just seems to be like my little guide.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've listened to them enough to probably be able to handle doing it. I don't know. And I do have a lot to say, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm at a point where I can do it in a graceful way and represent for my kids, you know,
absolutely,
the good side of hard stuff, you know, because we all have it. And, you know, I didn't know that that was going to be my mission and in 2019, but because of how life turned out and the experiences that I had, here I am. I'm ready to go.
We don't get to pick. We don't get to pick the path. And I think that it's huge that you're here and just for an open share. And I really appreciate that you're willing to do that with me in the audience to maybe help somebody else kind of find their way through their intuitive beings, maybe, yes. You know what I mean, to pay attention to those things, because ultimately you didn't know that during that course of time for you that it was, you know, maybe your husband holding the red flags, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, and that looks different for everybody, you know yeah. what I mean? So
right.
it's ultimately you're co-parenting with this person, mm-hmm. you know, for the rest of your mm-hmm. kids' lives and yep. the rest of your lives. And you want things to be copacetic and healthy for your kids.
Yeah.
So you want to be a healthy, balanced person.
Yes.
You know, to,
And I have faith that we'll get there to like being yeah. in like a really healthy co-parenting space.
Yep.
But for now I have my boundaries yeah. and I know, you know, not everyone has your best interest at hand, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But
isn't that a weird space to be in when someone mm-hmm. reveals themselves to you as someone that does not have your best interest at heart, that you respect?
Oh, I was sad for a long time. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely like a, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, but
it is what it is. I know exactly mm-hmm. where you're at with it. And, mm-hmm. I've been there time and time again. And even in the entrepreneurial space, it's like trusting people to come in and work with you and
yeah.
work alongside you, that they're not necessarily your business partner, but they're working as part of your team. Mm-hmm. It's a ever evolving trust process.
I had a therapist tell me once that to look at people that come into your life, whether it's, you know, someone at the grocery store or at the gas station or a friend from, you know, classmate or something, they all come, you know, they're like clouds, like some come and, you know, they just pass by and some stay and some don't. And, yeah. and to know that that's okay. And to not hang on to like the end result that you get, you know, so tied to,
yeah.
because you know, that's what, if there's any constant in life, it's change. And
sometimes you just come to the end of the road with people.
Yes. Yeah. And that's okay. And it doesn't have to end bad.
No.
Can we just all
yes.
like realize that it doesn't have to end in a fight?
It doesn't.
You can just, you know,
I love you.
I just, cause I think of the politically yeah. and all of this stuff, the heaviness of the world in the last 4 or 5 years for everybody collectively
yeah.
is a heaviness. It's and heavy. I do feel like if we all, and this is going to get a little woo, but I don't care. If we all kind of wake up to the fact of like, we produce ripples. So what kind of ripple are you going to produce? Like, yeah. I want to produce a ripple effect that is helpful for people. You know what I started like bringing like back, I don't know if it ever was here, but in 2020 when I was just so sick of like the what's going on. And, you know, I brought it back, like just embracing singing in the car and like just being into it
yeah.
and not hiding when someone drives up next to you. You know how many people I got to smile?
Yeah.
And I don't know those people. They don't know me. Who cares?
Right.
But I just made them smile, and you just don't know what that might change for their little unit.
Yeah.
And then that's what I talk about the ripple effect.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you know, for me and my kids, we use music a lot to like, I believe in like, you know, your body stores energy. So if you have any trauma or if any, you know, anything stored in your body, literally having an act of shaking it
yeah.
releases it, or at least mixes it around to where you can release it.
Otherwise,
it doesn't stay stagnant, right? I think, you know, I think that's why exercise is so important and can be addictive for some people, or, you know, can be extreme for some, because it is, it's releasing endorphins and it's, you know, giving you that feel good chemical. And I just feel like with like through dance and stuff, that's what I do with my kids. So like, you know, when it was just the three of us, I put a sign in the kitchen. Our kitchen is for dancing. Probably because I haven't really cooked a whole lot in the last few years since I've owned a business. But, you know, our kitchen is for dancing. And
because mama's bringing home the bacon with the business.
Well, I mean, you know, it's numbers and money follow. They do not
sure.
lead. Like, yeah, I'm, no, you know, no. I just like to have that aspect on that. But, I just like to embrace that with my kids
yeah.
because I want to give them tools that yeah. are healthy
right.
to kind of, you know how to lift yourself up if you need to, because there's not going to be somebody there to save you
no,
all the time.
Exactly.
So you got to know your self-soothing. You know, my daughter's always been really good with self-soothing ever since a baby, you know, and my son like needs a little bit more like help with that.
Yeah.
And dance is great for him. And he's just
that's awesome.
Gymnastics.
Yeah.
And all that
I'm not a good dancer, but I found that when I work out, if I turn the music on and let the music move my body,
yeah.
I play with like my martial arts bow staff and my nunchucks and do different things like that. And mm-hmm. I get the mats out mm-hmm. and I just let the music move my body. So
yeah.
I don't know how to dance, but the music makes me do whatever it needs to
but,
do.
But you know, the whole like dance like no one's watching? Yeah, that's because
that's basically
what
it is.
When you don't hold back,
yeah,
it's really fun and good for you.
It is. Like, and it ripped my core up. Like I had an 8-pack at one point because I was letting the music move me so good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, memories. That's awesome.
So, yeah. I grew up with lots of music. Like just, you know, that was always just like a release for us as kids, you know, like just using music and like making routines and dance routines. And I don't know. I'm way more conscious of energy now, you know, and I think it's healthy. And I'm not, you know, I also have spiritual boundaries, so I don't want to get all like too, you know, I'm still very much like present, and I don't, you know, there, it's all a balance, you know, you got to find your balance on what resonates with you, because it's not all for everybody, and that's okay.
Agreed.
And different times in people's lives too. Like, you know, I'm in this phase of simplifying and resting, you know, intentionally. And I know it's a phase, and I say that because I want to create, but for now I need to like rest. I think it's, you know, building the business. I've been, you know, we've been open for 4 years, which is fantastic. I'm so super thankful for that. In a really strange economy, but I didn't know any different. And I've always kind of had that positive attitude about it, and it has served me well. Mm-hmm. Like, I got in the mortgage industry in 2007. I don't know if you remember 2008 and 9, but like, it was a mess. I was selling like 7-point-something%. It was crazy, but I didn't know any different. So I did okay. So it's all about, you know, taking what's for you and being okay with other people having different directions and not forcing yourself on anybody. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it. You don't want to force your agenda for your personal blueprint on anybody else,
right?
Because it's your own unique blueprint.
You know how I've decided to live my life since all this happened in 2020? If I were to be an author, I want to be, I have, sometimes I'll even play like scenarios in my mind, like just privately of like how it would feel, you know, like if I were to do this in a situation versus this, and I'll kind of live my life of like, I want to be proud of the decisions that I made. Right.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's just a good, I just have I'm very aware of my conscience.
Well, and who is in your inner circle, so to speak? Like it's, you know, I mention this all the time on my podcast. You are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And it's
true. I could have just said that with you if I would have been a little quicker. But
it's so true. It is.
People's energy
rubs off on you. Yep. Vernacular rubs off on you. Mannerisms, habits, all the things. And it's so important to just surround yourself with people that match your energy. And you shouldn't be dialing yourself back.
Maybe not even match, but compliment.
Well, to compliment, exactly.
Yeah, because it's like,
you don't have to be a perfect carbon copy of somebody, but you should be around people that are uplifting you, not bringing you down or holding you
battery,
back.
Battery, not a vacuum.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And that's
energy vampires.
Energy vampires are real. And the thing about energy vampires is they don't know that they're energy vampires.
Yes. But my good friend and coach Bryce Henson brought this up to me, and he said the exact same thing. And I love that. And I've had experiences where I'm sitting there talking to someone, and I'm sure you've had the same thing where you can literally feel like you're having an out of body experience because they're literally sucking the life out of you during that conversation.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm so dialed out now that I need a nap.
Yeah.
Because you can literally feel the energy dissipate from your body when someone's doing that to you. Like, that's how protective I started getting as my intuition.
Yeah, like if people maybe have an agenda.
That you feel it. You pick up on it.
You can feel it. And they might not even, that might not even be the word that they would use or whatever, because it's not everybody's evil, right? Not everybody's out to like be bad. But at the same time, like, you have to protect your own energy. And there, you know, if you do have a lighthearted energy, there are people that really want it.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to get it.
Right.
And it's not their fault. And maybe it's how they raised, or they didn't have like the upbeat livelihood, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You are the average of the five people. So like, if they're around that lower energy, and then, you know, sometimes they see the higher and they want it so bad. And that's where like some narcissists, you know, an empath, you know, there can be some of that. That's like, ooh, you just have to be aware. Right.
Yeah.
And just, you know,
that's why it's so important to tune into yourself and see where you operate from.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be the person that's exhibiting those characteristics either, because you and I have talked about this off camera too.
Yeah.
Is that we all as humans have those traits.
Yes. It's overused term right now, but we all have
it's one of those hot button words. Yeah. Yes. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Like egos and, you know, all of that. But it's like, you just have to keep yourself in check.
Right.
You know, like, you know.
Even trigger is like a hot button word right now. And I hate to use all the hot button words, but it's like, you know, they're there for a reason. And those are traits that people have. And sometimes, they're overused. And sometimes there's just people like to diagnose everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, if it's, you know, not necessary or you shouldn't be handing out diagnosis, then you tune out. You know what I mean? To those people, you know what I mean? That becomes toxic, you know, just casting your opinions and your agenda on somebody else.
Right.
That can be very toxic also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like to say a lot, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
I mean, respectfully stay in your lane. Like, you don't have to, you know, mesh with everybody, but like, especially in everything, you know, I have felt a lot of heaviness. I'm not a political person right now because I've needed to put my energy into other things, but I can very much feel the collective energy of like everyone holding their breath last night and whatever. And, you know, half of America is upset today and half of America is celebrating. And it's like, can we just all figure out a way to just like move together in this world? Like, it's a dance, right? Like, give each other their space. But I am feeling a very radical need to like separate from the people that can't get out of that energy.
Oh, right.
Because that's real too. And not everyone can be.
I'm not in that energy with anybody, so I'm already separated from that. So that's good for me.
Good. Yes. But it takes time.
It does.
Like, it can take years.
It's been years. Like, I had, I started separating years ago from all of that because, I'm just so protective of my peace and my energy and who I, you know, spend my time with and who I'm willing to give my time and my energy to anymore.
Yeah.
So I get right where you're at with that.
Yeah.
Just for fun, what would your book be titled? It doesn't have to be the permanent book, but like off the top of your head, if you wrote a book, what would you call it?
Like if it was,
I have a couple in me too. I want to call one Four Lanes of Fuckery because I used to, all my pet peeves were while I was driving and I was like, I'm going to write my first book and it's going to be called Four Lanes of Fuckery, My Life on Telegraph Road.
Oh my
I'm just
gosh,
teasing.
That's so funny.
My other one would be called Pinterest Fail. I'm just teasing about that one too. These are just fake ones I make up in my head.
Oh my gosh. You know what? It's so funny that you say that is, I've been talking to a lot of authors, and I have a lot of customers, actually, that are authors, local authors.
I have a lot of friends who are authors,
I know,
too.
We got to talk. Yep. And something that, like, we had a really good conversation in our tea room the other day, and she said, make sure you do the title last. And I said, okay. And that makes sense to me because I don't want to be focused on a direction.
There you go.
I want to just let it flow and what feels good. And you got to keep in mind, like, I've got children to keep in mind, you know, 7 and 8 and a half. So they're going to always be top of mind with everything that I do. So, you know, I don't know if I have an answer for that.
You don't have to have one.
It's
your answer's perfect.
She literally said, do that last.
You should do it last because the title will reveal itself after the book is written. That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
So thanks, because I'm going to do that when I write my book.
Yeah, there you go. And just see what comes after the fact. Because, you know, like she had mentioned how, you know, she wrote a book about her mom with Alzheimer's and she named it Counting Steps because she had been taking care of her and her mother had to like count steps in order to go throughout, you know, her home because she was blind. Blind with Alzheimer's. I mean, it was just heavy. So she had counting steps made sense to her. Well, she said, but that was awful because if you put in counting steps in Amazon, you get health stuff.
Yeah.
So no one finds your book. So like titles are so important.
Yeah.
They really are. Even if they're like one word, you know, they could be as simple as like one word or so obvious, but they do really matter. And I know it'll come when it's ready.
So we also talked about podcasts. What would, just for fun, if you were coming up with a pod, and you don't have to have an answer if you don't have one, what would your podcast be called? If you had a podcast, if you were developing one, what would you call it?
Oh my gosh. See, like, this is the stuff I do last because sometimes I'd say to myself that I'm not very creative.
Well, and it's not, you're not married to this.
Yeah, I know.
So there's no commitment to it at all. So I'm just being funny.
gosh, I don't even know. Cause I, part of me wants to like have it be very serious, like serious stuff, because I think that we all relate to different people and maybe something that I've experienced and got through will resonate with a group of women.
Yeah.
I'm assuming my audience would be mostly women maybe. But
no, come on.
You don't think?
I think it would be everybody. I think you're a very universal person.
That feels good. That's a big compliment. Thank you.
Well,
because I mean, I don't ever want to, you know, like I don't want to, and I even decorated Full Clarkson that way, neutral, because I wanted men to know that it's for them too.
Exactly. And I think that it's important to highlight too, like you went through a divorce, like we have things in common. You know what I mean? You have, experienced a divorce, it doesn't mean that you're a man hater by any means, or like that you're just you're That's one of these toxic toxic empowered women that are just like on a rampage to just,
that
you know what
like
I mean?
A lot of energy.
That's not you. It's not your style. I think you're a very universal person and you're just as supportive of men and masculinity as you are women and femininity.
Yeah. And
Did
you
I
know
say
what?
That right? Femininity.
And a lot of things too, is like we all have masculine and feminine energy. And I do feel like, you know, at my core, I have that feminine energy, but I know how to bring in that masculine
Absolutely.
When I need to. And I think that's how nature intended it. You know, like you can bring that out when you need to. And when you're in that survival mode and you got to protect
yourself. Metaphorically kick
and,
some doors down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you have to, you know, you can't always just be like, you know, seen, not heard.
Right.
You know, as a woman. And I'm, you know, I never, you know, I had someone say to me the other day, like, something about being a woman business owner. And it never occurred to me that that's rare. I think it's because I'm the youngest of three girls and we're all kind of like this. We're all kind of tough.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
and I thank my parents for that because I never felt held back as a woman.
That's awesome.
Ever.
I love that for you.
And that also feels right.
Yeah.
But I'm avoiding the title because I'm...
No. Well, I think that you're a very healthy... I like the empowerment that you have behind your femininity. Femininity because you're it's healthy empowerment because I see it with men too. You do see, here's another hot one, like everybody, the term toxic masculinity, that one's all over the place too. And but that's on both sides. There's toxic femininity too. And I think that it's alarming on both sides of the fence, right? You just don't want to be around that energy. Again, back to the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
But you see it in business and you see it in the community and you see it even amongst your social group sometimes. And it's hard to watch that. It's hard to watch toxic masculinity happen in a marriage. It's hard to watch it in a business. But it's also important to understand what's healthy and what's not as far as empowerment goes and masculine, feminine energy.
Right.
And I think that it's on the person, it's on us as a society to actually take a deep dive into what healthy looks like.
Yeah.
And I think I'm looking at healthy femininity right here. And I think that you're an empowered person and in a very universal energy about you. So I don't think that back to the podcast, I don't think that you'll have just a large
I love that because I don't I resonate with anybody.
Anyway.
Like I can get along with anybody. You know, I really embrace differences.
I feel that
people.
About you. And I feel that men would feel very comfortable talking to you. And
I had a lot of guy friends growing up.
Yeah. Right.
But then I also I love supporting women.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like to be women can be mean to women.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived through that. As far as like just, you know,
competing. Men can be too. You
men
know what
too.
I mean? It goes both ways.
Gosh.
Men, women can be catty and then men can be just as catty. It's funny to watch that.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever watched two men in the construction business
be
catty towards each other? I'm
no.
like, you guys are bitches.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm teasing. But no, it exists on both ends of the energy.
But just having the awareness of like that it's there and, you know, stay in your lane on that too. Like of just, you know, giving people their space, man. I cannot drive that home enough because I know what it's like to kind of feel suffocated. Like you had to like, you know, be a certain way and do certain things, but like breaking out of that, I'd be like, who says?
Yeah. It's very
freeing. 'Cause I don't want to.
Yeah.
Like that's not the way that's not how I envisioned it. And I think that's why I quit Quicken. I was like, there was something in me that felt unfulfilled, but I'm like, you know, I've got good credit. I've got money in the bank. I've got low debt. that felt great. But there was just in a family, I had two kids.
You're a mission and purpose based person. Just that's my take on you when I got when we first got in touch. But you were on your mission and your purpose when I met you. So you know what I mean? I didn't meet you at Quicken. I met you through Float. Yep. So you were already like finding your way into your purpose because
you've noticed, but the vision of like the path is so much more clear now than when we first met. Can you tell?
I can because you were also too, you were in your marriage at that time.
Yeah.
And so nothing had.
I was a little bit like, hi, you know, like just like going through the motions a little bit more where now I'm just like cut to the chase. How you doing? Like, you know, reading the nonverbals and like going deeper. But I think like, you know, it took.
When you start a business too, you end up, because I did, we started in the same town and you're part of different networks and it's very, it feels like that you get that fake energy.
Yep.
And so networking isn't good for me because when you're around it, I'm like, fuck, I feel
then
like
then you feel like you're doing it back because you're kind of mirroring them.
You are, because that's when you're picking up on other people's energy. So you're doing it and then you don't feel good about yourself. Yep. And so
I don't do a whole lot of networking.
I had already found my way kind of out of that when we met and you were just starting. So you were in. And didn't want to be. And so you could feel that about it. Oh, for sure. I knew like we were going to click down the road. And so that's why I was like, I'm getting her the posture corrector and her hubs. And you know what I mean?
Posture.
No, but yeah, that's a good metaphor to just posture up and you kind of muddled through it and you came out on the other side. And you had a lot of good information to share. And well, I want to thank you for sharing that too. And is there anything that, you know, you want to weave back to or touch on that you didn't.
No, I just want to thank you for the space because I feel a lot of draw to do like, you know, podcasts to open up these real conversations that we all have in one capacity or another and just own it and it takes the power away for other people too. And, you know, I, as cliche as that also sounds, is like just owning it will make others feel that they can own theirs too, right? And like we all know from experience that owning it fully and outwardly is it releases it, man.
Yeah.
So why do I keep saying that?
You're good.
I keep calling you man.
No, I like it because I say dude.
I know. I usually say dude. Dude, yeah. That's an overused word in our house. But like, I don't know. I just appreciate what you do because I've always felt really comfortable around you, and I'm not from this area. So you know, coming in and opening a business, like who is this chick? And you know, I needed to find my tribe.
Yeah.
And I feel like you are in that, and you know, people that I thought would be in, you know, some are and some aren't. But it's beautiful because it's just sort of I'm articulating it as I go, and that's all you can do.
I'm right with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as long as you're putting out good work and it feels right, you sleep good at night, you're taking care of your own side of the yard, and you know, you do your thing. I'll be supported.
I don't even get the privilege of being in your presence on a regular basis, but anytime I am, I always feel good and we always have good conversation. It always feels clean.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel
icky like after, dirty like after, you're just right? Like someone you weren't. Or yeah. Like
I just, it never, that never happens.
Yay.
And so it's very rare that I get in the presence of someone and everything's just good. And I appreciate that about you. And you're always welcome here. And much like you said, I'm happy to be part of your tribe and I'm happy to have you part of the inner circle. And you're always welcome back here to do podcasts on any topic because really what the inner circle is about are taking the deep dives like we talked about. Mm-hmm. And I talked a little bit with you off camera and many times before about how I initially formed the inner circle back in 2020. And it's evolved. And I was so nervous about starting my podcast because it was kind of one of those bings that you spoke about.
Yeah.
It was not something I wanted to like, it's not something I wanted to do necessarily for the reasons of getting on a camera and having a microphone platform.
But you knew that might be part of it, but that's okay.
But I understand that that's part of, because you have to get the message out. And I had experienced so many things, much like the share on today's episode with you. And that's a really important share that can help people, you know, kind of find their way out of a dark time and know that there's light on the other side of adversity, because it can get pretty dark and gritty and you don't think you're going to make it out to the other side when you're going through those things. And to have someone like you or me be able to give a personal share like that or a testimony, I think it's important. And I was intimidated by the cameras and the microphones and the hoopla and all that stuff that come with it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've been working on it since 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with my blueprint, my format, and came up with the Inner Circle. And I mean, I had bought all the equipment, and I had actually had a contract for a 12-episode podcast with a company. And I recorded episodes. I never released anything because I was too nervous to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I was too in my head about it. And then, you know, I had my studio the whole time. I just didn't feel confident enough to launch out of my studio on my own terms until I did.
Yeah.
And then it was like, bing. Yay. It was like, you're supposed to be doing this. And then so, you know, what we think things are supposed to look like or be isn't in our control. Mm-hmm. Like I told you what my blueprint looked like back in 2020 for the Inner Circle, and it has evolved. The actual blueprint is the same, the premise, the topics, the guests, all the things, that's never changed. But I had other things.
It looks a little different than you imagined. A little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. Now enter you and different people that have come on the Inner Circle as a guest. Mm-hmm. I'm so blessed for I love every guest that's ever come on, and they're part of my Inner Circle too.
Yeah.
I haven't had strangers on. I'm open to, you know, having people on that I don't really know, but
you're just getting started.
Yeah, I'm just getting started. And so like, this is a great episode for me because we got to take a deep dive into things, and I think it was really special that you came over and shared your story. And
thank you. Feels good.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
Absolutely. So what are some of the, outside of floating, what are some of the other wellness practices that you would offer anybody that's going through what you and I kind of went through when we started up our businesses? And, you know, when you're facing adversity, it takes a toll on your body mentally, internally, physically, all of it. I mean, floating is obviously a great tool. Yeah. Sauna, you offer all those things, massage therapy, but I know you do other things. Like you spoke about dance.
Yeah. I mean, I like to just get in tune with my body. So like walking, I'm not really a runner, but
me either.
I love, you know, walking my dog Paco, or dog Paco. And, I love anything to do with nature. You know, the kids and I had an amazing weekend. We had like fires all weekend. That's just so burning leaves and like getting things cleaned up, and you know, simple.
You know what I want to do with you is because this was huge for me, and you spoke about Friday the 13th, which was when you signed your papers.
Well, it was when I was supposed to.
And when you were supposed to sign your papers. My brother passed away on a Friday the 13th, and I ended up turning that into a skydiving day because you know the know, the superstition behind Friday the 13th. And I was like, I'm not afraid to die. I'm going to stare death in the face, and I'm going to kind of let go of grief and loss and all these things. Yeah. And so I turned it into a metaphor.
Powerful to go towards the fear instead of, you know.
That's exactly what I did. And so skydiving turned into a thing for me. And I was never thought I would jump out of a plane. I don't even like roller coasters, but it's different than a roller coaster. Yeah. So
I did it for the first time.
I know you did. And, so
and that's when I reached out to you, I think.
Yes.
Because I saw it was like your profile picture. I was like, oh my gosh, he's done it.
Yeah.
Because I was trying, like, it was something that just felt so symbolic.
I wanted to skydive together.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, we have to do it tandem because we're not
certified.
We're not certified yet. And I was working towards that point, but the weather here kept, even on the nicest day, if it's a little bit windy up top, they don't fly. You don't jump. So I had a couple of setbacks in getting my certification to solo jump, but it's still one of my missions. But we should do tandem because I gotta, you know, we know where to go.
Yeah.
And we should do that. It's therapeutic. And I think anybody that's willing to.
I want to do it again because I think the first time I went a little out of body, I didn't know I would do that.
Same.
I think I was just like, because there was, I went into it so confident.
Yeah.
Like this is like symbolic, and I'm just leaving the crap up there and I'm just embracing and I'm going for it and whatever. And I did, but I did have a little bit of I went with my best friend and significant other and her husband, and it was a fun group and it was amazing. But like, I did sort of, I look back at the footage that they had and I was just sort of, I think I was somewhere else for a minute just to not panic.
Dude.
But now that I know that I survived and, it, you know, I've had the experience from beginning to end, and I kind of want to do it again because I feel like it'll be a totally, just like floating, like your first float, you're kind of like, what do I do with myself for an hour? What do I do with my hands? You know, But then when you embrace it and you do it again, you have like a better experience that second
time. How did
time.
You feel about your the guy or girl that you did the tandem with, like the instructor?
I liked him.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I liked my guy too. So yeah. I went with my neighbor. My neighbor, I bought a jump for my jiu-jitsu instructor who wouldn't do it. Mm. So I had the free ticket. And so my neighbor, Kate, you might know her. She lives in Clarkston. She lives right down the street from me. Her father had just passed away a year prior from cancer. And it was the anniversary of his death coming up. And then it was the Friday the 13th anniversary of my brother's passing.
Yeah.
And I extended the jump to her. And so her husband was like, do it, you know, because he had done it before. Mm-hmm. And so I extended the jump to her. She accepted the ticket and we went together and we went up in the plane. It was like cathartic and therapeutic for both of us. I had this older Australian guy. He had like the Australian accent.
So
he was
cool.
older and he was so calming. And it was like, they just knew who to pair me up with.
You because felt so safe. Probably,
she
right?
had like, she had, like a character from Point Break, dude, the movie Point Break. So he had on like the Bermuda pants, flip flops, tats. And he was super young. And I was like, don't give me that guy because who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. But he was cool. And, you know, we both had successful
jumps. They're professional
jumps.
And they know what they're doing, but.
Yes. Yeah. But I just felt more calm with my guy. And so it was awesome. And so when we got up there in the plane, you know how you're on like kind of that like sawhorse, like. You're up in the little mini plane and there's like a seat like this.
Like this. The one that where you jump off of.
Yes.
Yes.
Like you get, we're in the plane and she's on her side and I'm on my side. And she went first and I've never seen someone fall out of a plane before.
Yeah.
And so like you're tandem, you're hooked up to them. They're behind you. You're in front of them. You're strapped to each other. And then so like the green light flashes or whatever. And they're like, go. Mm-hmm. And then so he scoots her all the way up to the thing and they get to the, you know, the door. It's open. Mm-hmm. You're watching the camera guy because we paid the extra for the camera too.
We did too.
And so like the camera guy like fucking falls out. And I was like, holy shit. Because shit gets real once you're
There's
once
no turning back. You're strapped in, ready to go.
Yep. And so like then she's up there at the door, like up at the opening. And then all of a sudden – they just tip over and fall out. And I'm watching that. And I was like, holy
shit,
right? And then so, but then, and boom, like he starts like scooting you down the thing and you get up there so fast. And he was like, do you want to do a backflip? And
Oh my gosh.
Because we talked about it on the ground floor. And I was like, no. So I was like, I don't want to do the backflip now. He told me that. Once we got up to the opening, he was like, if you don't want to do the backflip, we're good. I'm like, don't do the backflip. He's like, maybe next time. So we got up there and then you just kind of like tip over and fall out.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, it was kind of like the float.
Yeah.
Really. It was like, I thought it was going to be like a roller coaster where you're
like,
falling.
You were going to have like a constant butterfly.
Like you're falling,
panic.
Plummeting. It wasn't
It's
it was
calm.
Almost like it was the wind pushing you up.
Yep.
Not you falling down.
Right.
I didn't get that. It
you
was
don't,
so
you can't,
good.
You can't really prepare for that feeling until you do it because it is such a force. It's different than you expect.
It was totally different than I expected.
I mean, there's the free falling part.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, that's, you know, I had water all over my goggles. Like, I was just like, what? You know, I looked at the video and my skin is just like.
Yes. I remember the guy telling me, too. He's like, there's Canada. And he's pointing out all this shit to me. And I'm just like, I wasn't prepared to, like, take note of the scenery at that point
because
was just getting like my bearings with the fact that we just fell out of the plane and he's like, do you want to steer? And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to steer. Like, you take the wheel.
Oh my gosh. We were in Grand Haven and we had all of Lake Michigan to view and I don't even remember seeing it at all because I was just so like, I don't know. I was just, it was just a very unique experience.
Well,
but I would totally do it again.
Yep.
Totally.
I would do it. I did it several times after and each time it was just as good as the last and I'm just not afraid of it.
Do you go to
the
same place every time or do you?
I've never gone to a different place because I don't know any other places.
Yeah, if you've found places
but I'm
like,
open to it and I want to do it in Colorado.
Really?
Because it's just a beautiful view.
Altitude.
Yeah.
Already.
Well, the mountains and
it just. I might just touch my ears.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Colorado is no joke. I love it there.
Or anywhere, Florida, anywhere. I'm always looking when I go to other states if the weather is good, but it never works out time-wise and all that. But yeah, I definitely want to do it again. So this summer, we should do it.
All right.
We should film it and then we'll podcast.
Oh my gosh, let's do it.
We'll call your podcast The Jump.
The Jump.
Yes.
I kind of like that. All right. I'll write that down. I won't forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love it. So, yeah. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you want to?
No, I just appreciate everything that you're doing.
Where can the audience find you on social media?
FloatClarkston.com. We're on every, social media platform. We have a nice website that's really easy for booking and pricing and, more information and all that good stuff. Or call us or come in. We give tours all the time. Yeah. People are just like curious, but not wanting to like commit to an appointment yet. Come in, yeah. We always give tours. And I think when people see and feel the space, their guard goes down and they're a little more comfortable. So
you do in person, and on your website, you have virtual tours on there too. Do you have some videos on there?
We were on Fox News when we first opened. That was on the front, the top page or the front page there. But, speaking of that, Dina Santafanti is amazing.
Yeah.
And she did our interview when we first opened. And something that I give her a lot of credit for me leading with my flaws, because I had not known or wanted to bring up my own anxiety when I first opened, but that's really the draw for me was like, this will help me and this will help others sort of thing. And she was like, she's very good at her job. And she said, would you say, and this was all in writing, so I knew it was probably going to be in the article. Would you say that, your own anxiety is what, drew you to this, like your own anxiety and how you manage it? And I said, yes. And to me, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Because I was admitting that I had anxiety for the first time openly. And, ever since then, it kind of released in a, why do I have those things that I feel like I can't admit?
Right.
And so now I just sort of lead. Stigma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stigma.
Yep, I've been there.
And people pleasing and, not wanting to, break the mold. I don't feel that way anymore. And that feels great. Yeah. So leading with your flaws is very freeing.
I love that. That's kinda a great like closing statement. Yeah, it is. The jump.
Let's do it. 2025.
Yes. Well, okay. It's been so amazing you. I can't wait to have you back. We're definitely going to have some more great content to cover in the upcoming year.
Sounds good.
So thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
The beautiful Stephanie Benson, Float Clarkston.
Mm.
That's a wrap.